Amen. Thank you so much. I know different times, Brother Dan has been asked, where did you find that song? And oftentimes he tells them, most of the time he says, well, it's in our hymn book. It's just one that we haven't sung ever or for a long time. But we praise the Lord for those good thoughts and good music, and praise the Lord for that. Well, we're excited to be back in church tonight. Thank you for being here. We're going to look at 2 Samuel chapter 11. I want to preach for a little while about this subject. What's the matter with you? I told you this morning that your mom very well may have taught you that was unkind to say or inappropriate, because that insinuates that something's wrong with the person. But I want to add emphasis to the two words in the middle. What's the matter with you? I heard somebody preach, I heard the title some time ago, and I don't know where they went to it on the sermon from there, but I want to preach for a little while using that title, that asking the question, what's the matter with you? We're going to read this section of Scripture about where King David, of course, got involved in sin and wickedness, and we're not going to preach on that. That's not my desire tonight, but I'm preaching about the attempted ignoring of it. So you're in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1. It came to pass, after the years were expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Raba, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass at eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. We understand the story there. Most everybody in here would know that. I'm not my intent to preach on the sin of David. It's an amazing thing, though. I just want to put this in there for grace and for God's wonderful work. We still call David, because the Bible does, we still call him the man after God's own heart. And so if you're the one that's messed up in this situation or a thousand others, may I remind you that the grace of God is so wonderful that He will use and He will continue. We're all candidates for the use of God. If you're still breathing, God has plans for us. Don't ever let anyone tell you that, well, I've done this or I've been involved in this, and so there's nothing for me. There's always something for us, as we understand that if God didn't want us here for a purpose, He would have taken us on. But I do remind you this, as good a man David was, this is often the story that people remember about him. So the truth is double-sided there. And so I look at this tonight, and I look at the matter that was going on with King David. And so I want you to just listen for a little while tonight, and I trust that it will be a blessing to you. Every adult knows the sad story of the great King David. But I'm not preaching about that sin, but the attempt that he made to ignore it or gloss over it and go forward without even dealing with it. But we have a desire, most of us in our lives, when something happens, we have a desire to go on without ever reconciling what needs to be reconciled after a situation. There was a couple of girls that were in school about the time that I was, and their dad had gotten a new car. And the new car was in the garage, and the parents were gone for the weekend, I believe it was, or at least a few days. And so they were allowed to drive the car a certain distance to here, there, but not all over the place, and that's exactly what they did. They just drove it all over our little county, Jackson County, West Virginia, here, there, picking up friends and bringing them to this and that and all the rest. But the day was coming when Mom and Dad were getting back, and so they went and they filled the gas tank back up to where they thought about it was, whatever level that was. They did that. They washed it. They had everything ready except for one thing: the odometer. I told you it was a new car. It only had about 500 miles on it when the dad left. And when he got back, it had a lot more than that. Is it any wonder that they didn't want to be around Mom and Dad for a good while after that? Of course, they finally got caught of it. Obviously, if you're a young person in here, usually parents find that out. My pastor always tells a story about when his dad had a pretty nice car, and my pastor has two brothers, and so they would drive that as teenage boys, and my father-in-law would always know if they'd been hot rodding around, and they always wonder, how'd that happen? And of course, he told them years later that he had some stuff in the trunk placed in a particular spot. And so he understood, or he realized when he got back in there, if that stuff was thrown everywhere back and forth, that those boys had been fishtailing in that Chevelle. And so he knew, caught up on him. So Might be a little different age today, but dads are still a pretty smart group. And if that dad can't figure it out, then mom usually can figure the rest of it out. But there was a matter between those young people and their father, because they had done something they weren't supposed to do. Now, chances are, if they'd have asked their dad, he might have said, that's fine. You've got to go pick people up. Go pick them up. Probably not run all over the county, but go pick them up. And the truth of the matter is, there was a matter between many of us and somebody else, either in this room, in this house, in your house, or in the world somewhere, or maybe even between the Lord. I see folks come to the altar, and they'll come, and I believe that they pray, and they say, Lord, help me in this, and Lord, help me in that. There was a fellow this week that came through the parking lot and said, I just need somebody to pray with us. We came in here, and somebody prayed with him, witnessed to him, told him to share the gospel, and just needed somebody to pray with. I believe there's people that come to church, come to an altar, come to a prayer time, and they'll pray and pray and pray, but oftentimes I find that they pray about everything except the matter. Because somehow we act as if there's something in our lives that we want to keep off limits to the Lord. I hope you understand tonight that it's a pretty hard thing, yes, impossible thing to hide stuff from the Lord. You say, oh, I'd never do that. No, not verbally you wouldn't, but in our hearts sometimes we get to a place where we want to hide the matter. And so what David does in his wickedness and what David does in his braggadocious attitude, David tries to conceal the matter. Yes, I hear the rain too. I mean, I see everybody's like, well, I wonder if he knows it's raining. I do hear that. So if your windows are down, better go get them up, I guess. David, thank you. If you're not careful, you'll go to a counselor, a true, legitimately certified counselor, or just somebody that's playing the role as a counselor in your life, and you'll talk about everything except the matter. You say, what's the matter? I don't know what the matter is in your life. I'm just saying it probably varies from person to person to person, and probably in each person it varies from time to time in your lives. But if we're not careful, we'll dance all around the matter, and we won't get down to business. I'm just telling us this evening, there's a reason why some of us don't have victory in our Christian life. There's a reason some of us have an ice over our marriage. There's a reason why there's a lot of tension in our homes. There's a reason why at your workplace that you just have that tightness that seemingly nobody can cut through. And I believe that many times that it's that we will not deal with the matter. And so I want to preach about that. What's the matter with you? And so as we look at this evening, we'll trust to get it right from the Word of God. And I want you to look at verse number 27 in chapter 11, as we're there right before our passage that we read. I want you to see this, first of all, as we get started. David does not want to fix the matter. You all, every adult in here knows, and most young people, you know the issue of what David was involved in, adultery, and it was wickedness, and he was involved in all the things he ought not to be in. Now, certainly, there's plenty of preaching material where David was supposed to be out the battle. It's the time that kings go forth to battle, and he did not, but he should have. But we understand that he got in a lot of trouble. But that's not my intent tonight to preach on. I want you to look at verse number 27 of verse 11, or chapter 11. And when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. I'd give you number one that David did not want to fix the matter. David, of course, as you remember in the story, sends Uriah to the house. He brings him from the battlefield, sends him down to the house. Uriah's got more character than that. He sleeps outside, and then he tries to get him drunk with wine, but he still has more character than that. He will not go into his wife, and then David has Uriah killed, and then David marries Bathsheba, all to keep from dealing with the matter. Now, not anything so serious as that. That's a very serious charge that David had laid against him because of his sin. But a much smaller matter, I've watched people hold grudges against others for years. And they'll keep that grudge. They'll laugh and smile and talk about all kinds of other things, but they'll never talk about the matter. My preacher says that having bitterness against somebody is like drinking Drano and hoping that it hurts whoever you're holding bitterness against. It doesn't hurt them, it hurts you. And sometimes we'll hold bitterness against somebody. We will not deal with the matter. years ago, there was a pastor that was in our region in West Virginia, and he was a denominational Baptist pastor, and he came in, and he was red hot and mad at my pastor about certain thing that he wanted him to do and he wouldn't do, back and forth, immaterial, what the story was. But it was later found out that that pastor was involved in immorality while he was there seething and talking about what Pastor Norris ought to do. It was found out later, because he had to confess to his congregation, that he was involved in wickedness. My friend, there's many people, doesn't matter if it's a preacher, doesn't matter if it's a Sunday school teacher, church member, whoever else, that is involved in things, the matter that we won't discuss. The best revival that the church that Brother Dan and I served at, the pastor would say, was preached from a pastor that had years, this was years ago, but while he preached it, the best revival was held by somebody who was living in sin while he was there preaching it. My friend, I'm just trying to tell you that you may think that you're outrunning God. And you may fool me, you may fool your family, you may fool everybody, one of your co-workers, but you will not fool the Lord God Almighty. David thought he was pretty smart. He thought his plan was wonderful. First of all, to get Uriah to come home, thought the problem would be a done, but it wasn't. If that didn't work, he upped his game and he went to the next step and had Uriah killed, and then came and took Bathsheba to wife. But that still didn't fix it, because there was somebody who he didn't get it cleared with. He may have paid off his men. He may have done it, told his guards to do his bidding. He may have got everything put together or put away and thought he had it all sewn up. But my friend, there was a God in heaven, just as there still is, that knows everything that goes on, and he wasn't fooling him. And so I'm not pretending to think that anybody in this room, I pray God it's not true, I'm not pretending that anybody in this room would be involved in such a sin as that. But I do believe that there's things in many of our lives that we don't want to discuss. There's an offense we had because somebody did something. We're upset because somebody else won't do another thing. We're upset because somebody took something of ours and we thought it should be ours. We're upset because somebody got to do something and I thought I should have got to do it. They got a promotion and I didn't. They got this and I should have. I didn't get this and I should have. My friend, I'm telling you, there's in many ways in our lives, there are matters in our lives that we're not going to flourish. We're not going to succeed. We're not going to go forward. Unless we deal with the matter. The Bible says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, in Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 13. So we see in the scriptures tonight that David does not want to fix the matter. My friend, if there's something between you and your wife, I'm not talking about immorality, God help us. But if there's hard feelings because of something that happened even years ago, there's something in the life of you and your adult children that needs to be fixed. My friend, I would suggest tonight you commit to the Lord Almighty that you're going to fix it. Don't be the one that wants to conceal the rotten matter. What is the matter with you? Can I tell you this? That matter that you're keeping from other people, that matter that you hope nobody finds out, that matter that you're trying to keep concealed, God already knows about it. And there's a reason, I'll get to in just a little bit, why you can't have peace and why you can't have contentment and why you can't have happiness, because that matter that's there is keeping those things from you. My friend, I ask you this evening, what is the matter with you? David doesn't want to fix the matter, but I want to show you this in verse chapter 12, verse number 5, that there is no peace nor power until the matter's fixed. Verse number 5 of chapter 12. The Bible says, and David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. You remember the story? Nathan, the man of God, comes to David, says, there's a fella, had one little lamb, and somebody rich in town had all kinds of things, and he took that one guy's one little lamb and used it instead of all that he had. And David got hopping mad. He pronounced it, that guy ought to die for that. David's mad, and he pronounced hasty judgment on this lamb thief. Now, I want you to think about this. This is in the midst of David's sin, the matter that he tried to disguise, he tried to cover. He went to great lengths to try to not let anybody know about the matter. But the Bible says in Psalm 51, history would tell us, that Psalm 51 is the penitent psalm. Psalm 51 is the psalm when David gets things right with God. And if you cross-reference this passage to Psalm 51, you'll find that when David gets right with God, this is what he says. He says in verse number 14 of Psalm 51, deliver me from blood guiltness. David finally came clean with God. He says in verse number 4, against thee and thee only have I sinned. We see in another psalm, Psalm 6, that the psalmist was under the rebuke of God. Let me just show you what the Bible says in Psalm 6. He says this, I water my couch with tears. That doesn't sound like a fellow in a very happy mood. And just to give you this as a little parenthetical side note to say, whenever you think somebody's got it all together and they seem happy-go-lucky and all that, there may be a lot of heartache under the surface several different layers down. And the psalmist said, King David, he said, I water my couch with tears. He was under the rebuke of God. That was Psalm 6. But in Psalm 51, where he talks about the repentant psalm, when he got things right with God, he says, God, against thee and thee only have I sinned. He had already had too much conviction. He had already been put through the ringer too many times. He was already in a spot where he was going to fix the matter. And my friend, this evening, there is no peace. There's no power until you fix the matter. From West Virginia, back in my dad's days, a young man went to Tennessee to go to a Bible college. And go to Bible college he was supposed to do, but communications weren't as good as they are now. The next thing that the family knew was he had met a person that took him out of that path of going to Bible college. Ended up in bad relationships, several bad marriages, addictions, and regret. Now, I'll give you as a side note, praise the Lord, later in his life, before he passed away, he got things right with God, and he was studying the Scriptures and giving glory to God through all of it, about all of his life. But he had a lot of things in his life that were regrets and remorse because he, as a young man in his early 20s, would not address the matter. And the matter was that he had had somebody in his life that was pulling him away from God's will. And yet he tried to follow, say he was following the Lord, yet he would not. My friend, I'm just telling you, there is no power, there is no peace until you fix the matter. Until David got to Psalm 51, until he got to that spot where he told God, it's you and you only that I've sinned against. My blood guiltiness is before you. Oh God, forgive me, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Until he got to a place where he confessed it and got the matter put under the forgiveness of God, he had no peace, he had no joy. And my friend, I believe I meet Christians every day, and I hope to God I'm preaching this as preventative medicine for most of the folks in this room, but I meet Christians every week of my life who I believe they're trying to conceal some matter. You talk to them at Walmart, you talk to them at the restaurant, you talk to them here, and they'll say, well, Pastor, I'm glad to meet you, and then they'll go into something that they'll try to dance around all of a certain subject. My friend, until you lay it out, you don't have to lay it out before me, you don't have to lay it out before other people, but whatever the matter is that God's already convicted you of, you got to lay it out before Him. You want to know why we muddle around in our Christian life? You want to know why we don't have any victory, any peace? Why we don't seem to have that sweet walk and fellowship with the Lord like we used to? My friend, is there anything in your life that God has already illuminated to you, and not necessarily tonight, although that's fine too, is there anything in your life that God has already brought to the surface, but you haven't dealt with it? If there is one thing or a few, then that's the matter. That's the matter that's keeping your relationship, your fellowship rather, from being sweet with the Lord. It very well is the matter that's keeping your marriage from being as sweet as it should. It's very well the matter that's keeping that tension between you and your children. It's very well the matter that's keeping you at odds with other Christians. My friend, as I ask you, what's the matter with you? I'm not saying that in an unkind way, what's the matter with you? But what's the matter that the Lord in His gracious goodness has already brought to your mind in the last weeks or the last days, but you just haven't yet got to a place where you'd give it all to God? I tell you tonight that there is no peace, there is no power until you fix the matter. Let me give you another one before we go. In chapter 12, verse number 1, we see that God is working in you and me to fix the matter. Chapter 12, verse 1, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David. God used in David's life the old prophet Nathan. And he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city. You know he told the story. And then later in those verses, he said, "Thou art the man." I told you, first of all, that David didn't want to fix the matter. But there was not going to be any power or peace in his life until he did. And God, in his graciousness, sent somebody, and in many cases it won't be a somebody, it'll be something, it'll be some whatever, some issue. But God is working in you and I to fix the matter. He did in David's life because he sent Nathan. God is always working, if you're a believer in Christ, God is always working your life as a Christian for you to have fellowship. You say, God, I've heard preachers say, God had to take somebody to the woodshed. Even God's trip to the woodshed with somebody, that was to get you back into fellowship with Him. If you're a good mama or you're a good daddy, the reason you discipline your children is not just to have fun. The reason you discipline them is to get them back into fellowship with you. And to train them to be something in life. And the reason that God Almighty works in our lives for us to fix the matter is to restore the fellowship that the sin in our life had broken. Remember this, folks. God never breaks the relationship. After you're in Christ, you're in Christ. That is an eternal salvation. The Scriptures clear all the way through. But that salvation is settled. But that fellowship can be broken. And that fellowship can be broken in the life of a Christian so that the fellowship is not sweet. The relationship is intact. The relationship is not in danger. Heaven is still your home. God is still your heavenly Father. But you as a rebellious child has had the fellowship broken. And David in his life saw God working to fix the matter. I read a story about Corrie Ten Boom. Most of you know her. She was the one in the prisoner of war camps. And God had raised her up after she was released and some years later. And she spoke around the world, but especially around the country, about the miraculous things that God had done in her life. At one point, she had hurt her leg and she was in the hospital and was going to be in the hospital for a pretty good season. She told God this. This is her own testimony. She told God this, "Lord, I'm so busy. I can't be sitting around the hospital." She had speaking engagements, and she had things going on, and she had appointments, and she had all of these things. And she said this, "It seemed as if the Lord spoke to me, 'Yes, Corrie, you've been so busy, you haven't spent time with me, and I've missed you.'" And so here was a godly Christian lady who the matter in her life was that she was allowing her busyness to keep her from a sweet time of fellowship with the Lord. My friend, I'm afraid that there's a matter in many of our lives. There's got to be the matter of why we won't do certain things in our Christian life. Why can't we fellowship with so-and-so? Why can't we have peace? Why can't we have contentment? Why can't we have this, that, or the other? Oftentimes, it's because there's a matter that the Lord's already brought to your heart. The Lord's already shown it to you. He's illuminated it to you. He's brought it to you. But you and I, we refuse to address the matter. And my friend, my intent tonight is not to make anybody feel bad. My intent tonight is to give you the release from feeling bad, because the release from feeling bad is to go to God and fix whatever the matter is. We see tonight that God, in the age in which we live, the Bible says that when we get out of line as a Christian, God convicts us. How many of you have started to say something to somebody and it's as if the Lord said, mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. He convicts us. I've often said, "Lord, just give me 5 minutes. I'll feel better. Take some work off you." But the Lord said, mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. No, boy, not there. God convicts us. Now, sometimes we're so stubborn and we say without the Lord's permission, "Lord, I'm going to go ahead and say it anyways." And then what does He do as we're walking or driving away? The Lord says, "I told you not to." He convicts us. My friend, the best thing that a Christian can do at that point is to get it right. Barney Fife would say, "Nip it in the bud." Get it fixed right then. because the Holy Spirit convicts us. And the happiest Christians are those that when we, as one old preacher said, keep our sin on short accounts with God. And when I say that, oftentimes people get confused. What do you mean about sin? Brother Dan just got up here and said they're cast as far as they're in the sea of forgetfulness. They are. We'll never answer for our sins as a believer. We don't have to worry about the punishment. Jesus took all of that. But when we don't live obedient to the Lord as a Christian, then our fellowship gets estranged with Him. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in and tells you, go ahead. You do that. Or, don't do that. He convicts us. The Bible talks about Him chastening us. He ups the game a little bit. We stay headlong in our sin, and the Lord says He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If conviction doesn't get it, then He goes on to chastening. And then, as you know, this is not the sermon on that, but eventually He'll call us on home. If we stay in our sin long enough, that's what the Scripture seems to indicate. But each one of those steps, you understand, as severe as they have to get, each one is to get us close to Him. So in God, if you want to say, oh, God's punishing so-and-so, well, you can look at it that way if you want, but actually what God's doing is getting them back close to Him. So God's working in you and me to fix the matter. And let me just clear off a little spot right here. I didn't come to church tonight to accuse anybody of some gross immoral sin. Not. I would be shocked if it is going on. If it is, then get it right. But what I do believe that all of us, if we're not careful, we'll protect little areas of slight disobedience, which is sin, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. We'll protect little areas of disobedience in our lives, and we don't want anybody to get on the matter. Maybe it's our church attendance. Maybe it's our walk with the Lord. Maybe it's our quick, bitter attitude. Maybe it's 100 other things. I don't have to tell you what the matter is. I believe that the Holy Spirit can do all of that. But I do believe if the Lord has seemed to bring something to your mind this evening, I would strongly suggest that you get the matter right. David was still the great king of Israel. He was still the one that had command over all the armies. Some would say his position did not change at all. Before, during, after all of that wickedness with that woman. But I ask you this question, did it change between he and God? That fellowship was broken. The matter had to be resolved, and it was. Again, read sometimes Psalm 51. That's what that whole psalm is about. The fellowship was restored, and I'm saying tonight that God is working in you and working in me to fix the matter. So I'm asking you tonight, what's the matter with you? What is the matter in your life that God's already convicted you of, maybe days ago, weeks ago, maybe you've been living with it for years? What's the matter that any time a pastor comes through, an evangelist, a revivalist, that you keep having back in the back of your mind, I need to go ahead and do that? What's the matter tonight? Secret bitterness towards your family, ungodly thoughts or whatever, pride, resentment, hatred, I don't know. But whatever it is, God's been working in your life for you to fix that matter. And I trust that we've come tonight to truly do business with the Lord and say, Lord, I want to fix the matter. I want to show you one little interesting fact, if you would. Turn your Bibles. I'm done preaching. But look at 1 Chronicles chapter 3. You're in 1 Samuel or 2 Samuel. Just go write a few books. 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter 3. I'm going to take you to this last passage and show you what David must have thought of God's messenger that brought to his mind or brought to the forefront, brought to his attention the matter. You'd think, man, if somebody came and told me that, I'd be as mad as all get out at them. 1 Chronicles chapter 3, verse number 5. The first few verses give the whole genealogy of the sons of David, but look at verse 5. And these were born unto him in Jerusalem, Shimei, Shobah, and Nathan, and Solomon, four of Bathsheba, the daughter of Amiel. Look at that, one of those kids of Bathsheba that were born to David, or born from David to Bathsheba, Nathan. And Solomon, of course, the most famous. David must have thought so much of God's messenger that when one of the children that came out of that marriage, he named Nathan. Perhaps because Nathan was the one that God used to show David what the matter was. And I trust that tonight, I don't expect to have a flow of the flood to the altar that people say, oh, I'm going to do this. I'd love it if it happened. I talked to many people and talked to somebody recently about sins. Sometimes people will come to the front of the church and they'll say, I've sinned again this way and this way and this way. And sometimes they make more problems than they had before by telling a bunch of people who it didn't involve. I love what one old preacher said. If it's public sin, probably ought to be a public apology. Private sin, probably ought to be a private one. If it's between you and one other person, you ought to be that one other person and get it right. So I'm not asking anybody to come and say, well, preacher, I've been doing this or I've been doing that. I'm asking all of us to search our heart and ask ourselves, what's the matter? If there's something inappropriate in our lives, let's get it out tonight. If there's some attitude that's wrong that we've been harboring and keeping, let's get it out tonight. If there's some anger against something that happened some months ago, years ago even, let's get that matter out tonight. If there's the matter in your life, I would challenge you tonight to not leave out these doors, but what, first of all, you, between you and God, you resolve the matter. David wasn't getting anywhere with the matter being tried to cover up. You think God was going to let the king that he is going to put his name on, you think he's going to let him go happy-go-lucky with that wickedness? Not on your life. And I don't believe God wants us to go along with some anger, some bitterness, some this. You say, Brother John, you say, my, the thing you're talking about in me, that's nothing compared to what you just read. I already said it wasn't. It doesn't matter what it is. I believe if God's brought to our hearts, we ought to get it right. So I'm going to ask you tonight, what's the matter? Let's confess to the Lord. Let's go out of here with a clean heart between us and the Lord and say, everything's all right in my Father's house. What a wonderful way to live. Let's pray together. Father, be with us. Now is our prayer. Lord, I pray if you've brought some things to our hearts, then you would help us now, since you've gone to the extent of bringing it to our hearts. I pray that we would go to the extent of getting it right with you. Lord, maybe it's something not in this room. We can't get it all the way right tonight, but we're going to promise you before you that we're going to get it right as soon as you give us opportunity. Dear Lord, maybe there's something somewhere that we know what's going on, the matter. I pray that we'd get it solved. Dear Lord, please, I ask. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. As they begin to play, would you just stay seated right there for just a minute? Maybe make it a little bit more conducive to you having a little altar time with the Lord. My friend, I just want us to do house cleaning time tonight. If there's a matter between you and God that He has brought to your mind possibly again and again, would you get it right tonight, right there where you sit? This is it. Forgiveness is in order. Confession is in order. Oh God, forgive me for having that rotten, bitter attitude against so and so. Lord, against Thee and Thee only have I sinned. Whatever the need is, right there where you sit, would you do business with the Lord? As they continue to play, I just want to give Christian people an opportunity to mind the Lord. I told you that penitent psalm in Psalm 51 says this. I told you about it. Here's what it says in verse number 2. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. O Lord, open thou my lips. My mouth shall show forth thy praise. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Church family, I trust it's preventative. But if there's anything in your life that isn't right, would you get it right tonight? We've got so much at this church we need to do. God forbid there be a pastor, me, or a pastoral staff, or a leadership, or a teacher, or an attender, or a helper, an usher, or anyone else. We want to be right with our Lord. We don't have time for bitterness and cantankerousness and ugliness and vengeance and backbiting and tail-bearing and all of these things. Oh, Lord, have mercy on us. We don't need that. As they continue to play, I'm going to ask Brother Daniel to come right in front of the pulpit that I preach from. And I guess we've never ended a service without asking if you're here tonight and you're not sure that you're saved. I didn't preach on that. I preached to Christian folks tonight. But maybe you've had a longing in your heart. You know that something's not right. The premier job of this church is to teach people to love God. And the only way you can love God is to be saved by His mercy and power through Jesus Christ. We want to show people Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight and you're not sure you're saved, there's somebody, Brother Daniel, right in front of the pulpit we preach from. We'd love to take a Bible and show you. If you just stand up and slip here to the front, and we just privately take the Word of God and show you how you can be sure you're saved. As they continue to play, I'm going to ask everybody if you're able to stand together. We have our old-fashioned altar call. Maybe there's something that you do want to come and spend some time at the altar. This altar right here in front of the pulpit, or maybe the front pew somewhere here. You do feel the need to come, then you're certainly welcome. I never want to discourage somebody from using the altar. One of the best decisions I've ever made have been at the altar. I've got right with God at the altar so many times. I challenge you to do as well. As they continue to play and you want to come and do business with the Lord, the altar is open for you. Again, maybe you're here and you're not saved. Would you step out and come? Maybe you're here and you're saved, but you've never been baptized. We're going to baptize several folks that first Sunday, Lord willing. We get in that auditorium, and you'd like to be one of them on that special baptism day, on that dedication day. Oh, why don't you come? And let us know. We'd love to see that happen. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You'd like to present yourself and come forward, and you meet with one of the staff this week and answer any questions you have, and you'd come present yourself. They're going to play one more verse. God spoke to your heart. Would you come? Thank you so much. You may look this way. What a joy to be in church tonight. Thank you for being here. And again, I want, before you leave, I do not think that anybody's in what we would call gross sin. But I do believe that us sinful folks, if we're not careful, we harbor some things that we ought not harbor. Let me put it like this as we leave. If anybody could walk in that door back there, and all of a sudden your throat would tighten and your muscles would tense up and you'd feel yourself getting physically bothered because they were here. Now, if that's something tragic that happened in your past and they'd done something, then that's a different story. But I'm talking about somebody who's never hurt you, never done those things, but you just have almost a hatred for them. My friend, that's no way to live. Let's get done. If you haven't yet done it, let's get rid of the matter. Let's go on and serve God. Your children need you to be the best you can be. Your grandchildren, your grand whoever, they need you. Let's go forward for the glory of God. What a joy to be in church tonight. And thank you for being here. And I trust that we'll fellowship some before we leave out of here. And we're going to pray. And then if it's not raining too hard, I'll greet some folks out there. If it is, I'm your fair weather pastor. I'll be inside. But I don't want to go too far for you. You know what I mean? So thank you for being in church tonight. And what a joy. Brother Radford, why don't you come to the pulpit and dismiss us in prayer? Brother Daniel, would you get him a microphone there? Good to have his daughter home. Yes, sir. It'd be great. Good to have his daughter home. And thank God for him. Brother Radford, you pray for us.
Lord God in heaven, we are so grateful to you, Lord. Thank you for this day that you've given us, a day that we can celebrate our own mothers and those that are here today, Lord, that's just been a blessing of a day, and we praise you for it. Praise you, Lord, for the opportunity to be able to lift up our voices, Lord, in a free country, that we can be able to gather together, Lord, and we just thank you for that. Thank you for the pews that are filled today, Lord. Thank you for the beautiful rain that you gave us today that we need, Lord. We're just so grateful to you, Lord. Now this week as we go forth, Lord, we just ask that you'll go with us each step of the way and that you'll give us those divine appointments, Lord, that you have people that you want to hear. You want them to be able to hear about you, Lord, and may you use us this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Stars through the perilous fight, o'er the